This is CliffCentral.com. Yeah, we're live. It's a Thursday morning, the 18th of January. I see lots of people this morning, up and about, bright and early, getting things done. The highways are packed full of cars. It's school's back, so you know. All the little grade ones started yesterday. There's nothing cuter than those little grade ones in their school uniform, which is always ill-fitting because parents try to buy it like one or two sizes bigger so that they don't have to buy it again in December.
Because that stuff is not cheap, man. My cousin was taking me through her expenses for her grade one son. Yo! Mm-hmm. I know, those uniforms are not cheap, guys. It is insane.
And the crayons.
Jeez, I have a niece and a nephew in the 3 months apart, so they both started grade one yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
And just seeing the pictures of a stationery box that's practically bigger than them, and they're like dragging that to their class.
And their little suitcases look so huge on their backs, and their lunch boxes and all of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's cute, though.
All right. Well, good luck to all the parents.
You're going to need it.
Yeah, you're going to need. And you know, this week is always like hard for those kids who are going to school for the first time because they're like, I don't want to go to school. Why shouldn't I just stay at home?
Yeah. It's like this school thing is overrated.
I did something fun last night.
Okay.
Last year, I went out for dinner with two of my kind of oldest friends, and we sat and we called it a catch-up.
Okay.
The purpose of it last year was to sit there and just kind of find out what's going on in each other's lives, personal, work, kind of ambitions for the year, what stuff is interesting to them. We all would just sit there, the three of us, and talk things through. And we went to a really nice place. You know Gemelli, right?
Yes.
Gorgeous.
Good spot.
Fantastic.
That's in Brooklyn, isn't it?
That's in Bryanston. It's right here in Bryanston, yeah.
Oh,
and then, hey, Ben. And then I took it out of, because we put it in the diary as like a recurring thing. It's like a thing we want to do every January. This is what we decided last year. And then it came up in my diary on Monday, so I thought, I don't need to do this. I'm just going to delete it. So I took it out of the diary. Well, it took like 5 minutes for both of them to email me. What the hell? Why did you take this out of the diary?
Yep.
We've been waiting for this. We're looking forward to this. So we did it last night, and we did it at a different place, and it was cool. It was just really, really nice to just sit and kind of, you know, you touch base with your friends, especially your good friends, and it's just, you know, it's good to find out, like, one guy, we sort of, how was your 2017? No, well, it was the shortest year, he said, of his life. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a kid and his whole life changed. And he said for the first while, this kid had ruined all the patterns that he'd got used to and started to like. And he said then eventually, he said it became the greatest love affair of his life. He's so happy. And the kid's now, you know, two. And it became a really great year. And things went fast, but surprisingly, he said he had a good year in business. You know, it's nice to catch up on those things because you hardly ever have time. If you see your friends, and it's usually a lot of you, and it's in an environment where it's loud and you don't sit down and actually talk. Mm. And if it's one-on-one, it always feels like, you know, you now have to do this with everyone else. For some reason, it just works. And then the other guy told his stories, and, you know, he's got this relationship going, which is really making him very happy, and business is good, and you know, it feels like you've got to catch up with those people, and it was just a nice thing to do. And we finished at, I don't know, 9:45 last night, and went off on our merry ways. And I just thought, you know what, I'm lucky to have friends like that, and I'm glad that there are people in the world who are interested enough in each other's lives that they can do this year after year. It's only our second year of doing it, but I think we've got to carry this on until we're very old.
Oh, yeah. You've definitely got to turn it into an annual event now.
Not for sure.
But well, that's so nice because... Mm,
and easy. It's like just a dinner. It's not a big deal.
But also, when you hear other people's lives and what's happening in them, it either reminds you to get over yourself because yours is clearly not as bad as you think it is on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Or it then forces you to have, you know, to aspire to something in your own life.
Right.
Because you think, oh, you know, these two are thriving in all these different ways.
Yeah.
What can I do in my life to make sure that I am also as happy as these two seem to be?
Or you just get really grateful about how lucky you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Because really, by the end of it, all three of us were like, you know, things are good. And even though the news is always going to be negative.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are people in your life who are always going to find reasons to bitch and complain. There was no bitching and complaining. None last night. I mean, there was a little bit about, you know, cryptocurrency. Because yesterday was the Armageddon of 2018 in terms of cryptocurrency. But I woke up this morning and Run was tweeting up a storm. You know, he's in America. He's in Miami at the moment.
The guy moves and travels.
Yeah, and he was saying, you know, already 30% up on yesterday and all this kind of thing. He's very bullish. He's so bullish. But we'll check in with him later on and find out what he's up to. And we've got Justice Malala coming in today. I was very excited about that because there was lots of political news in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
We've got to talk about the school. We mentioned schools opening up. The school situation in Gauteng because Banyaza Lesufi was in battle in court this week.
Mm-hmm.
To get an Afrikaans school in the Vaal to admit some English-speaking pupils.
Yeah.
I assume they were black pupils. I don't know. But there was a big fight going on. And yesterday, the EFF were protesting there. You know, these EFF guys will do anything for attention. Not that this isn't a valid issue, but they really... I long for the day where... We can all just be really adult about this because if you protest outside a school and you're burning tires and things, first of all, what kind of an example is that setting for kids to behave like that, to not be able to sit like adults around the table and figure out a way forward? Because it can always be figured out sensibly, always. There's always a way for people to be like adult. And if you're protesting and you're burning tires and you're shouting and you're holding up signs about, you know, like, fuck off you and whatever, because this is what was going on. That's an awful thing to have children exposed to. Young kids, impressionable young kids. Because that's going to do everything to engender more hatred, more suspicion, more nastiness. It makes the parents combative. It makes the school combative. It makes the Department of Education look like it's stirring. And somehow, surprisingly, Angie Mochecha was the one who said this, what I've just said yesterday. She was the one who said, we can't have this outside schools. It's not the kids' fault that this situation has developed. And they should not be exposed to this. It's bad for them, full stop. Psychologists will tell you if kids see this kind of thing, it makes them scared.
But throughout history, when have humans ever resolved anything without conflict?
No, a lot, Mubs. A lot.
No, but I mean, think about it. Almost... all things that have been disagreed on throughout human history have been resolved through wars and battles. It goes back to the olden days, Gareth.
You try not to involve the kids in the wars.
No, I hear you, but what I'm saying is throughout history, humans have disappointed countless times. Why would it be different now?
Okay, but this is such a watered-down war, if it's a war.
It's a disagreement. Let's call it a disagreement.
Yes, but then... they're just things you don't want to involve the kids with. It feels like dragging them in as ammo is an unkind thing to do to young children who don't know why the adults have got into a situation where they're behaving badly and fighting with each other. The kids don't get that. I mean, Angie Mochecha said as much yesterday. It shouldn't be their problem. And a court has made a ruling, which is a sensible way for people. And whether we like the ruling or not, that's what courts decide. We love the ruling. The EFF loves the ruling when it goes their way, like in state capture. Then they're, oh, the courts are great.
Mm.
The minute it doesn't go their way, they're out in the street burning tires and protesting and frightening children.
Yeah.
It doesn't, that's not adult. And you can say that humans have always resolved their problems by conflict, yes, but we try not to involve the kids, and we try to, where there is a rule of law, follow the rule of law.
I'm just saying, I'm at the point where I don't have a lot of expectations.
No,
that's,
you're right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, look, that's true.
It's sad, but that's the way it is.
And the system is going to have to change. Like, the way people govern ourselves, the way we rely on each other for food and water and electricity and those kinds of things is going to have to change. Because to let a bunch of people who win a popularity contest run those important things is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. In 100 years' time, humans will look back on every other epoch of human existence and say, this is stupid. How could they have allowed this to carry on for so long?
Well,
they
had kings and queens and politicians. We do it now. We look back on different time periods and we say, oh, look at how stupid they all were.
Yeah. So they're going to laugh at us one day because they'll have more efficient systems. And public service will really be public service. It'll be the kind of, you know, there are those people, I talk about them often, those people who go out into really tough areas and do social work. And it's hard, backbreaking work. And it's, no one goes around and pats them on the shoulder and says, well done.
That's so what, it's not about moving a couple of rocks on the road.
No, like Faith Mutambi did that time.
Yeah, well, I'm out.
So those people will go into public service, because public service will be about like operational stuff. It won't be about power and blue light brigades and making laws and all that grandiose crap of cutting ribbons. And
do you remember how we were talking yesterday about if you could break the law for one day? And in hindsight, I was thinking, if I could have found a way to have every single world leader assassinated on that day, like every president in every nation, gone. Ooh. And then the next day we say, okay, we're starting from scratch without politicians. Let's see how it goes.
Do you understand?
I think we'd be better. I think we would be better.
The
you know
chaos
what?
That would ensue.
I know, but let's agree to try it without politicians.
I would love that.
Let's see how much better or how much worse we do.
We need to wipe out any career politician.
Yes, all of them.
If you don't have a real job, if you don't have a real job, you're not allowed to also do public service. Public service must almost be like what you do. You apportion half your day to it. The other half of your day you're working, like the rest of us. Then you know what it's like to pay taxes and get stuck in traffic and all the things that humans deal with that politicians don't, because they don't know about that stuff. Anyway, someone says here, Duncan says, Gareth, when the EFF started, you were quite positive about them, even mentioned possibly voting for them. Has your view changed? Well, you see, I have this dance that I do with the EFF. Mm. Because I do believe that we need a pressure valve on the left, and that the EFF are, there are a lot of smart people in that party, but they are very manipulative a lot of the time too. And when it suits them, they like the rule of law, and they believe in constitutional democracy, and they'll stand up against state capture and all that stuff. And they've done an enormous amount of good. Let's not forget that the EFF have been at the forefront of fighting back against the Zuptas. And for that, we owe them a debt of gratitude.
I mean, I think it was through them that we first even learned the Gupta name, right?
Well, it was Barry Bateman and people like that who reported on the Watercliff Air Force Base that was the first real story about the Guptas when they landed there for their wedding.
Oh, okay. Because I only remember when Julius was talking about, you guys will learn about the Guptas.
Well, remember.
And then the story started
falling
out.
Remember, Fikile Mbalula was in tears because he was told he would be sports minister, not by the president, but by the Guptas. That was kind of what happened, as I recall. Anyway, point is that the EFF, it's an interesting party because they're young. And let's not forget, the only reason the EFF exists, don't pretend that it's because people needed this. I mean, there is a need in society, and the leaders in the EFF saw that. But the real reason they exist is
Their opposition.
No, Julius got cross with his daddy party.
Yeah.
Remember, and the daddy party threw Julius out. And Julius is a career politician. And Julius said, oh shit, if I don't have a home in the ANC, I better create one in the EFF. And he started this party, him and Floyd and a lot of guys who used to be in the Youth League. That's where they come from. So they only exist because they were thrown out of the ANC. And they first looked to themselves. They didn't first look to the nation and the poor people of South Africa and those on the outside and all that stuff. They first looked to themselves and said, shit, guys, we're out of a job. Let's create a new one for ourselves in politics. So that's the reason, main reason that the EFF are there. And then, of course, they started to turn into a real party. They realized that they could campaign hard and get lots of votes. And many people feel that that is their political home because the ANC no longer represents what they want. So I'm not by any means saying they're not legitimate or that they don't have a place. But I don't like the way the EFF pick and choose. All politicians are hypocrites, don't get me wrong.
Every single one of them.
I've said some very scathing things in the last little while about the ANC and about the DA and about the IFP and all of them. And, you know, I don't like the one guy who I feel has had a consistent set of principles from 1996, 97 is Bantu Holomisa. I've said that from the beginning. But whether or not you could vote for him and expect things to happen is a whole different story. Anyway, to answer your question, Duncan, I don't think I'd vote for them. I don't think I'd vote for the DA right now. And I don't think I'd vote for any of the smaller parties. So that leaves me with my... I had this conversation with someone the other day. Like, the way things are going in the ANC at the moment, you see Richard Mdluli was fired yesterday.
Yes, well, we'll talk about that.
You see, well,
wasn't he just, like, sort of paid out?
Well, he's been on suspension over the last 7 or 8 years.
They're still going to go after him with charges, I'm sure. They have to. There was a man killed. He's got blood on his hands.
Yes, yes.
Opa
Ramogibe.
Ramogibe, thank you.
Which I'm sure Justice will talk about.
Sean the Sheep's going to be kicked out soon. Now, in the next week. Gedleklegisa is going to get his marching orders within the next 2 weeks. Guaranteed.
Oh, don't say guaranteed. Oh.
Watch.
How are you staking your claim so confidently?
I'm going to say it because the State of the Nation's coming up. And you know what happens if you let him make a speech when he knows he's on his way out. He's going to promise free stuff again. And then we're all going to be stuck with the fucking bill.
To do it.
I mean, yeah.
So Cyril's quietly going around and he's going to just stamp his authority. He went to Mamwini. He went to King Goodwill's Zweletini. He's ticking all the boxes, making sure everyone's in line. People like Batabile Dlamini, people like Faith Mutambi and Mspenzi Zwane, they're all being pushed right out. And it's all going to happen. This is what we predicted, right?
Well,
if Cyril came in, this is what everybody predicted. They thought he'll clean house. And he seems to be doing it. So if you ask me right now our best hope is the ANC, even though it's got problems. Right now, the ANC is the party that you've got to back, and you've got to give them a chance to tidy up. And if they do tidy up, support them. If they don't tidy up, then start looking at the opposition again. But really, that should be your second option.
You see, it's so difficult because I think the majority of people across the world have so much of an emotional attachment to the party that they choose to support. Yeah. It's almost difficult to see when a party that you don't favor does actually say something that's right or does actually do something that's right. Because we're very emotional about these guys.
Well, that's why I like to keep an eye on American politics because it doesn't affect me as directly as South African politics.
Yeah.
So if I have a position, I remember what happened to me. I used to be very much into political ideology as a theory. I studied political systems. I studied the history of American politics. Just because I'm interested, not because I think I'm an academic or because I wanted to prove that I knew stuff. It's for my own happiness. Then I thought, well, if I were in America, would I be a Republican or a Democrat? And here's what happened. For the first term of George W. Bush, I was definitely a Republican. I thought, you remember 9/11 happened and all of that stuff. I thought if I were in America now, I'd be voting for George W. Bush. Mm-hmm. Second term of GWB, I started to lose faith in the Republican Party. By the beginning of Barack Obama's, in fact, before the beginning of Barack Obama's term, I had turned into a Democrat. And I'm saying objectively because this doesn't affect me. Not as much as, of course, everything affects everything, you know. Butterfly flapping its wings, blah, blah, blah.
You're not living in America, so no. It doesn't affect
you. So I'm a little more objective because I don't have a dog in the fight. Mm. So then for Obama's first term, I was a massive Democrat. I was a big fan of Obama. I liked what he was doing. I thought, this is a president I can support. Even most of his second term, I was a big fan. And then when Crooked Hillary started campaigning, I started thinking, we can't have this woman win. Personally, I started, not because I wanted to go back to the Republicans, but because I really thought the Democrats had become this party of identity politics and bullshit. And they'd become weak. They're like weak people. And they have no real guiding principles, much like my criticism of my money and the DA right now. So if I were in America right now, what would I be voting? I'd probably be looking for independent candidates because I don't like the Democrats. I don't like the Republicans. But then I've moved away.
Isn't Donald independent because he doesn't really care about Republicans?
Well, I mean, Donald has funded the Democrats for some of the time that he's been around. He said he was a Republican for the longest time. But he used the Republican Party to ride it.
Completely.
And I think I've just lost faith in party politics more than anything else.
Well, so it's become bloated and complacent a lot of the time.
That's it. So I just kind of look at it now and I think, I'm not for party politics. I think we should have individuals. I mean, wouldn't it be great if in your neighborhood there was a really upstanding citizen and you could go, well, I don't care if he's in a party or she's in a party or not. She's the one who can make things happen in my neighborhood. She's a, you know, those people who just get shit done. They're not necessarily ideological. They're not the kind of people who want attention for themselves. They're going to stand up and make powerful speeches about things, but they can get shit done. Like, there's this woman who works at the dentist that I go to. She is so goddamn deficient. She calls you up the day before and goes, listen, just calling you to make sure that you're there for the appointment tomorrow, 9 o'clock, cool. You're like, yes, of course I'll be there. And then she says, excellent. And if you say no, she says, oh, that's a big disappointment. She makes you feel bad. Right?
Oh,
yeah, you've really screwed up. She's like, oh, well, you know he's only going to be available from 2 weeks' time, and that's going to set you back. You're like, oh, shit. Listen, can I? I'll be there. She goes, good. She puts down the phone. Then you go and see her. You walk in. She says, hey, Gareth, nice to see you. Grab a seat. We'll be with you in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Exactly.
Can't
5 minutes.
She run for
they
office.
Call you in. Now, that woman, I would put in charge of everything if I could because, Jesus, she's efficient.
You know, that is so refreshing to hear because I don't know if it's just with the GPs that I go to, but typically they are never on schedule.
Yeah. Oh,
doctors' waiting rooms are like...
But you know what? That's like a...
Exactly. Thank you,
Ben. But that's like a handyman because when people go to the doctor, they go to the doctor to have their throat checked out. They go sore throat. And then while they go, doctor, while I'm here, and I pile on like, and my asshole's itching. My little toe is broken and doctor, can you have a look at my hand? And doctor, can you check out my eyes? And so the doctor's like, this is meant to be a 15-minute appointment.
Oh, it's the worst.
I think that's what happens. But anyway, yeah, this woman is so efficient. Now, I'd love her in government. And I don't care what her ideology is. She might be a rabid socialist. She might be a right winger. I could care less. Because all I want is someone like that to run my neighborhood. My neighborhood. She doesn't have to set policy for everybody. Because she would make sure that the schools opened at the right time. She would make sure that people didn't get into traffic violations because she would fine the hell out of them. She would make sure that there was no regulation around spaza shops, that people could run those legally. And, you know, I want that. I just want efficiency. And I think machines will give us that better than humans.
Sure. I mean, just ask the Japanese. They are so far ahead compared to the rest of the world in terms of how machines are just taking over the running of so many different aspects of life.
Same with the Swedes. They're automating so many different things.
Well, here's an interesting point. Someone says the EFF are a party that's formed to attract young people to loot since many don't have anything positive to do. How about the EFF address how to alleviate unemployment and poverty? Well, that's so hard. That's so hard to do. It's a lot harder.
Well,
that means they have to work. Can you imagine? I've come to realize that some South Africans just want to fight. Step on their toes if you want to get murd. Don't these people have jobs? That's at every fucking protest, says somebody. It's like they sit at home and think, what can we do for the day? Ah, there's a protest.
Well, the irony of that statement is that is one of the biggest problems of our country is there are so many people without jobs. Our unemployment rates are frightening.
Right. Okay, let's get into some news. There's lots of stories, and Justice Malala will join us later on because we've got to talk to him about all the things that he's got in the news.
I'll get started if you want me to.
Let's go. Oh, by the way, Dr. Jonathan Witt says, Mabali, we keep you waiting on purpose as doctors. Specifically, Mabali, it is a pact.
Fuck you, Dr. Witt. Fuck you.
All right, let's get into some headlines.
Yes, well, you did mention it, or rather mention it. And yes, Fikile Mbalula's announcement that Richard Mutluli is being relieved of his duties is being hailed by many sectors, but there remain many unanswered questions around the top cup. The decision to relieve Mdluli of his duties is being welcomed, but in reality, it means the head of crime intelligence will be pensioned off, and this is after having already earned over 8 million rand while sitting at home on suspension for 7 years. Sia, can you imagine sitting at home for 7 years and getting 8 million rand for doing that?
Yeah,
well,
that's
this
insane.
Is what I deserve.
So there have long been allegations that he is, or rather he has still been running the crime intelligence faction from a safe house, and that he gets picked up and driven to work every day despite being on suspension. These are allegations. He is not currently facing criminal charges of fraud and corruption. He is, however, currently on trial for assault and kidnapping in the South Gauteng High Court. This is in connection with the death of Opara Mohibe back in 1999. So, yeah, he is currently on trial, not facing charges of fraud and corruption, but he has now been relieved of his duties. Chances are he is going to be pensioned off, and he's already made 8 million rand.
Well,
I don't think it's the worst.
I want to know what Glynis Breitenbach thinks of that, because she was very much involved when she was at the NPA in investigating Richard Mdluli, and I'm sure that she's not just going to let this disappear. I'm sure she'll go after him. And if there are criminal charges, I mean, a man died. There is someone who's dead, and the evidence points to him directly. So that has to be resolved. There's a family there that is missing a member of their family that is gone forever because of the actions of, indirectly or directly, Richard Mdluli. Something's got to happen.
And then yesterday morning, a new story developed, Gareth, after a crime intelligence major general was found dead in a vehicle in the early hours of Wednesday morning. Police saying that they believe he was strangled. So just another suspicious story developing there.
There is a news story going around. I don't know if you saw this, but our Minister of Social Development, Batabile Dlamini, was interviewed on Anele's talk show. And everybody says that what makes this so odd is that the SABC was paid 500,000 rand for it. Which is interesting because who would want to talk to Batabile Dlamini? You'd have to pay someone 500,000 rand to talk to her or to talk about her, because this was obviously a publicity attempt, trying to create a good story for her ahead of the ANC's conference. She must have known she was in shit, and her PR team must have kicked in to high gear. But that's public money.
Yeah, how about that, hey? Having a PR budget as a minister?
Yeah.
Because they clearly have a PR budget.
Clearly, hers is quite high.
Came out of her drink money.
They needed to do a lot. So she was interviewed, and there were kind of biographical bits and pieces on Anela's show about Batabile Dlamini. It's come out that Lumkat Welifant, who is her PR person and spokesperson, paid the SABC 500,000 rand of public money to do a, you know, nice happy piece on Batabile Dlamini. So that's very much in the news.
Okay, well, I'm definitely not paying my TV license now. They just got all that money from her.
Well, you are an idiot to have been paying them to begin with.
Yeah, but
I'm sorry to say.
I wasn't. I still get daily messages.
Apparently, Dolores O'Riordan, who we spoke about earlier this week from the Cranberries, was found on the bathroom floor by hotel staff.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's how she died. Not a nice way to go. And they say, according to multiple reports, a hotel cleaning staff member reportedly found the singer at 9 a.m. on Monday, just hours after she left a voicemail for a music exec friend, Dan Waite, who described her message as full of life. Police initially said her death was unexplained, but on Tuesday ruled it was non-suspicious, meaning they found no evidence of foul play. Case will be passed to a coroner to determine the actual cause of death.
I don't mean to sound like that guy, but at 46 and you're in a hotel and you found dead, there's going to be drugs, right?
I think so. People say painkillers.
Well, it's something that has been dispensed in a medical nature, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah, painkillers. People are on antidepressants. You never know. Overdoses of those.
It's a celebrity trend. I mean, if you're a cleaning staff in a hotel and you see a very moody celebrity checking in, could make for an awkward morning. Well, we've seen it all the time this year.
So a lot of people, this is a story out of the White House. You know, I mentioned the other day, Trump came out really well from his physical, and people are really angry about that because they were hoping he would be ill. Some of the newspapers and some of the what he would call fake news media are saying he has experienced huge hair loss and erectile dysfunction, but that wasn't in the physician's report at all. And this is the same physician before you say, oh, well, you know, Trump used a friendly physician. It's the same guy who used to look after Obama, and he's been there for a long time. Probably even George W. Bush.
Wonder how much you get paid for doing that job.
Yeah.
Because you also have to keep quiet and...
And he, by the way, Trump, put out a list in awards season of fake news awards.
Yes.
He has highlighted journalists' errors despite anger from some in his own party over his treatment of the media. Donald Trump, he's such a troll. He just loves doing this. He unveiled his so-called fake news awards and used his preferred medium of Twitter to announce the winners, which ranged from minor errors by journalists on social media to news reports that later invited corrections. The awards were revealed on the Republican National Committee's website, which swiftly crashed as a result of the attention and prompted swift backlashes, including from his own party. They say that this Trump fake news awards got more media attention and online attention than any actual awards that journalists have been involved in for the last 10 years.
Well, then that would explain why all the comedians in America are jumping in on these fake news awards. Mm-hmm. Everyone from Colbert to Kimmel to the other Jimmy to, like, all of them, they're jumping in on Trump's awards.
And no surprise, but guess who swept most of the fake news awards?
CNN.
Fake news, CNN.
Of course.
Fake news. What else is there, Mubs?
Well, Apple Inc. are now going to open a new campus as part of a 5-year, $30 billion investment plan that will make about $38 billion, a one-time tax payment on its overseas cash. It's one of the largest corporate spending plans that have been announced since the passage of a tax cut, which was signed by President Donald Trump. The problem here is that the company has been under increasing pressure to make U.S. investments because Trump doesn't like the fact that Apple make their products in Asian factories. Well, he doesn't.
Right.
So,
and he keeps saying jobs for Americans, not for Chinese people.
Yeah, but Apple don't give a shit about that because they have no plans to change their practice. Also, economically, it would be completely impractical, and Apple are not about to lose any money over Trump. So now they've decided, okay, new strategy. They're going to be opening a new campus. They get a huge tax cut, and they also get to make some small change on the side. And then also they get to appease Trump.
So in other words, Trump has brought more jobs to America. He's forced Apple, one of the biggest companies in the world, to do more for Americans.
Yeah.
I mean, then that, give him the credit. That's success. And this tax cut that everybody was screaming and shouting about is doing exactly what tax cuts do. It's creating jobs. That's what happens when you cut taxes. It's undeniable. I mean, this is Apple. They were ferreting away money for the last 20 years in Ireland and in the tax havens of the world. They were getting all their jobs done by people in foreign countries. Now, after a significant tax cut and a deal made with the U.S. government under Donald Trump, Apple is suddenly starting to take responsibility for their own business in the U.S. That's a major victory.
And they also get to make more money, which I'm pretty sure that's all they care about.
Sure. That's how you get businesses to comply.
Yeah.
You give them an opportunity to make more money. That's what makes, you see, this is where a businessman is called for. And you've got to give him the credit. This is his administration that's made this possible. Because Apple didn't need to do this. They kept on doing what they were doing overseas. Now they feel obliged. And they're getting the tax cuts, which put the money back in their pockets. It's a good move. All right, let's get some sport with Ben, shall we? Here it is. What do you got for us, Ben?
Well, we've got a victorious Proteas team and a bitter Virat Kohli. So pretty much all you want from a cricket perspective. The Proteas won by 135 runs yesterday at Centurion, and, well, it was pretty predictable. Well, especially when Pujara ran himself out for the second time in the test. The Indians just cannot stay at the crease, and, well, we've been saying this from the beginning, why on earth do these guys not have any preparation? They came straight in to SA and they played a test match, so they didn't acclimatize to the conditions. And as great as Virat Kohli is as a batsman, he scored 153 in this test match. The other guys have no clue how to stick around, they just don't. So you've got these T20 players, guys who can swing the bats on low, slow pitches, suddenly being asked to defend bouncing, seeming, jagging deliveries. And of course they're going, screw this, I'm going home. So, well, we all know why there was no preparation, because Kohli got married, so the players would rather go to his reception than like slug it out in Kimberley versus the Diamond Oval 11 or something or other. Because that's what test cricket is. It's a test. They just rock up there without studying.
Mm-hmm.
That's what India have done, and therefore India have failed. That's a very interesting analogy, if I do say so myself. It goes on to the third test, which starts next Wednesday. So if you don't not really working too hard in January, don't like your job, or you're close to the Wanderers, I suggest getting tickets right away, because the Wanderers is SA's number one cricket ground. I don't care what you say about mountains. The Wanderers is amazing. It's a beautiful amphitheatre. It's the theatre of cricketing dreams, really, on the Highveld. It's just fired up and charged. And you think, I know the series is done, it's 2-0 to the Proteas, but test matches are just so special, and every single test match matters. So the more that you win, the closer you get to becoming the number one in the world. And we think about the Proteas, because they choke the crap out of every ICC tournament, test matches mean extra to the Proteas. So get down there, starting next Wednesday. Must get tickets.
Now, how does this affect those rankings? Because isn't India the world's best?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And they've played at home for the last sort of 2 years. So even if South Africa win the next test, India will still remain number one in the world, which Virat Kohli will obviously remind everyone about, because he's been crapping on about the fact that SA can't win in India and they've won so many matches of late, blah, 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 blah. He actually got into a bit of a fight with a journalist yesterday, which is pretty funny. And you got to say, Virat Kohli is great for the game. Even though we all call him a bit of a doer, it's great having the Kali Cat. If only the rest of the Indian team had some balls. Like, they just don't. Mostly because Kohli doesn't want anyone with balls in the team, because he wants his balls to be the biggest. So it's ultimately a dick swinging contest in the end. But just think how good this Indian team would be, or how entertaining it would be to watch them, if there was more balls. Just more balls. All we want. Hey, sir, you'd watch more, huh?
Moving on.
Right. In other cricket news, no, that's pretty much. Oh, no, wait. Yeah, Ben Stokes. So, you know, Ben Stokes, how got drunk defending his friend who was getting a blowjob and then ended up in fisticuffs in the road?
Yeah.
So, he's been charged with affray.
What does that mean?
It means he was basically fighting with yobs in public. So, he's been charged with affray, but it's going to take a while to really like find him guilty, all this kind of stuff. So, what the ECB, English Cricket Board. They've decided, well, you can go play for England again. So he wasn't allowed to play for England when he wasn't charged. Now he has been charged, he is available to play again. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but of course the spin doctors around the ECB, who I think have done a very good job in stretching this out to the point that no one really cares anymore if he's guilty or not, they've said, well, it seems unfair that we don't know how long this trial is going to go on for, so he might as well play. Of course, he went to go play for the Christchurch, Jesus, Crusader team, Kings, whatever they are in New Zealand, in a T20 competition. So now England are in New Zealand and they'll be playing limited overs against New Zealand. So it kind of suits to play a New Zealand born Englishman in cricket there. So that's why he's playing. Makes sense. It's geography at the end of the day. And England, well, they need all the help they can get, really. Oh, that's cricket. Speaking of that part of the world, it is the Aussie Open, and right now, Gael Monfils is taking on Novak Djokovic. Djokovic, of course, has much to prove. He's had his injury issues, and he was just unstoppable, especially at the Aussie Open. He's won 5 times there. And then, well, much like Andy Murray, his career has just plateaued terribly, and we haven't really heard from him for so long. So he's currently 4-3 down to Gael Monfils. Monfils with the serve. But yesterday, Garbine Muguruza, she was beaten by a Asian lady by the name of Haisia.
Excuse me?
No, I actually nailed that. I've been practicing all night. 7-6, 6-4. And a good thing too, because that Muguruza, wow, she annoys you, Bint. I mean, she has taken things past the Sharapova level, and she is nothing but just unpleasant. If you watch
really?
any, she's it's not even like, I mean, I've got to give it to Sharapova. At least she's got consistency in pitch. Marco Ruiz just sounds like she's either eating after a famine or she's just changing a wheel. It's just, it's horrible.
Wow.
Horrible. Speaking of Sharapova, she beats Sevastova, the 14th seed. Sevastova, the 14th seed. 6-1, 7-6, so she goes through. I mean, would you believe it? The fact that I don't think Sharapova is the biggest issue in tennis right now. That Muguruza. And she's always fighting with her coaches too. It seems unpleasant. Team went through and nothing else. No big sort of upsets. Joanna Konta, England's great hope, and the woman's, she's out. She lost to Petter. Yeah, Nadal's playing. Djokovic is obviously playing right now. And that'll be... Oh, tennis gets more exciting next week when all the seeds kind of go through and the better players play. It's kind of like the FA Cup when it reaches the fifth round. That's why I won't bother talking about the third round or the fourth round. It's just a... Dwayne from Midland is coming back to the Stormers. That is a really, really good piece of rugby news because, well, he wants to obviously be part of the Springbok setup for the 2019 World Cup. And at the age of 31, he believes he comes back now, get a good season under his belt, and he'll be obviously number 8 for the World Cup, all being well. And, well, the French club, Toulon, they said, look, we offered him another contract. Basically, he was going to get a pay-to-play kind of system so he could go and play for the box and then he'll only get paid when he plays for Toulon. But they said, no, we want to commit to SA Rugby, commit to the Stormers, and that is good news. Andries Becker, he has retired from all forms of rugby. Now, Andries Becker, this guy was amazing. He was the biggest buck, I think, 2.08 meters, and played 29 tests between 2008-2012, but probably more well-known for cheating on his wife and spotted canoodling with some young Macy in a park in Plattekloof. It was all over Heyskanoot. Oh, this scandal.
He's not even making it up.
Ben reads Heyskanoot?
Yeah.
No, I don't read Heyskanoot, but I mean, if you're referencing a story this big, Heyskanoot, I mean, they had pictures of him canoodling with this fourth-year student from Marty's. And she was shamed afterwards, of course, because she knew that Andries was married, but she couldn't hold back her love for the big buck.
Aww.
And need to say, his marriage went down to the shitter, and he was divorced, I think, the year after. So Andries Garcia then went to Japan, where he was obviously big in many, many ways, and he's been playing there for the last few seasons to make some cash. But now he's called the day, and he's 34. I always thought the guy would come back. He was a good player. But, you can't have it all. In other sporting news, Banyana, they are Africa's best women's football team, as voted recently in the CAF Awards. Well, if you want to see them in the flesh, this Sunday, 2 p.m. in Cape Town, at the big Cape Town Stadium. So, if you've got nothing to do on Sunday, 2 p.m., and the tickets are free. All you need to do is go to CompuTicket, look for this match, and tickets are free. Now, you got to support these women because they are playing Sweden. It's not like they're playing some sort of half-star's average team. Sweden are a top 10 side, and the Swedish ladies are focused when it comes to sport. And obviously, great opposition, builds great character, and for Banyana, this is a great stepping stone for them. So, get on down in Cape Town, 2 p.m. Sunday. Get tickets at CompuTicket. It's that simple. I just told you, free sporting event. What a win. What a win. And in golf, finally, hugely star-studded field for the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championships presented by AGA. Oh, these names get longer and longer, don't they? But you can see the world's greatest golfers, as in Dustin Johnson, he's playing. Rory McIlroy, he's come back from a long injury and layoff. Tommy Fleetwood, Europe's number one from last year. And a whole bunch of other really impressive names like Justin Rose, and a lot of South African guys too, as well as Panchara Kangwatmai. That's an impressive name. Panchara Kangwatmai.
Kangwatmai.
Yeah, it's an impressive name. And he's only like 20 apparently. So, all right. Lots of sport to get into. More about football and cricket and all other things tomorrow, as it is Friday and it is the weekend.
All right, very nice. Thank you, Ben. There's some interesting stuff to chew on this morning. I've got to tell you, we were talking about meows yesterday. Remember I mentioned that we took the dogs to the vet the other day to have all their inoculations and things?
Yep.
Well, the two Jack Russells, my mother's dogs.
This just sounds like a sounds like a disaster.
Yeah, they have to go for a tooth cleaning today. You know, like humans would go to the dentist?
Yeah.
These two dogs have to go and have their teeth cleaned. I just want to point out that my dog, Carl, has great teeth and he doesn't have to go for it. And my sister's Corgi, same thing. But the two Jack Russells have to go to have their teeth cleaned today.
It's quite a procedure.
Yeah, for the last 6 days, they've been on antibiotics. And then today, they've got to go to the the vet, and the vet's going to put them under general anesthetic because you can't clean a dog's teeth while it's awake.
And they move around.
What dog's going to sit there and
they
let you
don't
just...
understand how
no,
to
No, they don't know
what's
going on. Exactly. And so they're going to go and have their teeth cleaned today, which I think is hilarious, but it's probably going to cost some money.
Mm-hmm.
And you could avoid dealing with the headache of uncertainty when something goes wrong, especially with the average cost of an operation around 23,000 rand.
Jeez.
Yeah. And a vet visit for an accident, 30,000 rand. Now, One Plan offers health insurance plans for you and your family pet, and they've got access to private hospitals. This is now for you. And healthcare plans from 310 rand a month for you, not even your pets. SMS One Plan to 31644 or visit them at oneplan.co.za. But the most frequent claims that One Plan pet insurance has dealt with, do you want to hear what they are?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Pets eating chocolate, which is like poisonous for them.
Aye, aye, aye.
Gastro. Foreign objects, because you know how animals will eat anything.
Yeah, a lot of this applies to dogs, of course, because cats are more discerning.
Yes. Hip replacements. A lot of dogs have hip problems.
Yeah, like the older, bigger dogs, yeah.
Right, and accidents. So think about those things because those are the most frequent claims that One Plan pet insurance has to deal with. And if you've got animals, you don't want to have to suddenly wake up with a surprise of, oh my God, there's an expensive operation that I have to have this pet go to. And I can't afford to just take money out of nowhere.
Yeah, and vets don't exactly massage the process for you. They're quite sterile environments.
Mm-hmm. They're like
invoice.
Right.
23,000 rands.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You don't need anything like that happening.
And you also never want that thing like, okay, what's the price of my animal? I know that sounds very serious, but you don't want to say, well, how much is too much?
Yeah.
You don't want to be there.
So rather take the worry away and go to oneplan.co.za or SMS oneplan to 31644. That's 31644. Just SMS oneplan if you want to find out for humans, if you want to find out for pet, SMS pet, and they'll help you out there too. Or just go to their website. They're very cool. They'll help you out. They're a young, new, interesting, dynamic, cool insurance company. And we know that because I met the CEO a while ago. I mean, this guy's, he's a huge success and he's what, maybe 30 something?
Oh.
Yeah, we'll meet him.
Okay.
I'm going to get him in here to talk to you. All right, so that's One Plan and just a little bit of info for anyone who's planning to start the year right and you want to get all your policies and things in order, then you must get hold of them. All right, we've also got The Shape of Water happening tonight, our special exclusive screening of The Shape of Water. And if you didn't get your tickets in time, don't panic because tomorrow is the national release, Friday the 19th of January. The Shape of Water is Guillermo del Toro's new movie. We're all going to go and see it this evening. It's an otherworldly fable set against the backdrop of Cold War America. In the hidden high-security government lab where she works, lonely Elisa is trapped in a life of isolation. Her life is changed forever when she and her co-worker Zelda discover a secret classified experiment. Rounding out the cast of Michael Shannon, Richard Jenkins, Michael Stuhlbarg, and Doug Jones, the award-winning movie The Shape of Water comes to cinemas in South Africa tomorrow.
Ooh.
A little later on, we're going to check in with one of my favorite comedians, Nick Rabinowitz. He popped in and we had a conversation yesterday, and so it's fresh off the stove. And Gilly Apter was with him. She's a new comedian. She's been in the practice of comedy for about a year and a half, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of them came in together. We just had a really nice discussion, a conversation about everything you can imagine. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Nick is terrific. He spoke about his new... love for surfing and carving, which apparently is a kind of skating which John Flissmus taught him, and just what he's up to. He's got a great show up here in Joburg at the moment. That's why he's here. So Nick Rabinowitz and Gilly Apter will talk to us a little bit later on. Sound good?
Yeah, boy, yeah, boy, yeah, boy.
All right. When we come back, we'll check in with Justice Malala, the Burning Platform, and some of the news stories that you may or may not know about this morning so you can sound really smart when you bump into people at work who you don't necessarily want to spend too much time talking about bullshit with.
Oh.
Isn't that true?
Is that the way
bullshit.
We go?
Go straight to the, wow, did you hear about Richard and Luli? Yeah, have that conversation. People will be impressed. Go, wow, this girl knows everything there is to know. That's someone smart. That's someone I should listen to.
This is CliffCentral.com.